Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pulo and Josh Jordan. Go follow them on X at Pulo and at Josh Jordan SCS. Gents, welcome in. Welcome into everybody watching live on the stream. Hey, look, a win is a win in the NFL, but not all wins are created equal, and some don't exactly feel like wins. Feel like this falls into the latter category, although it still falls into the win as a win, and especially for the Texans, who are still fighting for some sort of playoff hope into this part of the season. Charlie, we start with you. What did you see from this team, and why was this game as close as it was when this should have been a blowout considering the statistical categories in the first half?
It was just a brutal display of offensive football. I mean, hey, Jeffrey Simmons wound up playing for the Titans, and he's really good. But the Texans' offense was just wretched for much of the game. You can say they punched down to the level of competition, but the Texans' offense has stunk for most of this season. They were very fortunate to be playing the worst team in football. Thank goodness the Titans didn't go for two. They converted that to take the lead. That impacts how the Texans attack. Thank goodness, Joey Sly. Hey, props to you, buddy, for hitting a 56-yard field goal, but gifting the Texans field position at the 35-yard line when all they needed was a field goal to win the game. And the Titans being the Titans, the Texans were able to put together really their only good drive with a finish in the entire game. The other one was the opening drive of the game, and then they fail at the 1-yard line because that's just become a specialty of theirs. So nothing about this game suggests that the Texans are a legitimate contender on one side of the ball, right? The defense, I mean, the Titans are feeble. Cam Ward is very raw. His pocket presence. Why don't you hold the ball a little longer, buddy? so that the Texans D basically dominated until caving, like in the Denver game, on a late drive. But the defense is excellent. The offense is woeful. Davis Mills threw one great ball, and Nico Collins made an even greater catch to set them up to win the field goal. So escape, survive. Great huzzas for beating the Titans by a field goal, but it counts as the same as if they'd beaten them 47-0. So in this stretch where they had three straight home games, followed by the trash Titans, the Texans absolutely had to win at least three of the four to stay at all viable. They did it. Now they either beat the Bills Thursday night or the season's over.
The reason the game was as close as it was, they're 3-for-12 on third down. The Texans were, at least they were, with 5 minutes left in the game. So that continued to be an issue. They couldn't stay on the field. But at the end of the day, you won a game you had to have with your backup quarterback. So you take that. And it's on the road. I know it's the Titans, but you take it. You needed this win right now. You get back to 5-5. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. The offense is a concern, but at least when they had to have some points at the end of the game, they did move the football, and it was a smart way to do it. Throw to Nico Collins. That guy's really good. Check down to Dalton Schultz when that's not there, and it worked. Obviously, when you play the Bills, you're probably going to need more than the amount of points that you scored today to get that job done, but it works for this week. You hope C.J. Stroud will be back, but we saw Adam Schefter's report that it's not a lock that he's going to return against the Bills, so we'll see how he progresses at practice this week.
I mean, Will Anderson with the triple crown play of a sack, a strip, and the recovery, and then the offense does diddly. They kick another field goal to make it 13-6, then wind up giving up the tying score after the offense twice given field position, their own 38-yard line, then their own 46-yard line, a chance to make it a two-score game with even a field goal starting close to midfield twice. They go three and out twice. The second time they give up a sack as Simmons ragdolls the defensive line. So the offense is just exasperating. I mean, better late than never with Woody Marks, a couple of productive runs on the final drive. But other than that, the running game was a joke. 2 yards per carry, basically. Davis Mills had their longest rush of the game. It's just a very annoying and bad offense to watch most games. But the defense, you know, the perfect supermodel face with that one ugly zit of giving up a long touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. But overall, the defense is a beauty, and they're going to need to deal Josh Allen a 9-for-32-like game that he had at Energy Stadium in his last visit, because 90% of the quality of this football team is the defense.
You talked about the running game. Let's zoom in on that for a second. 23 carries for 75 yards. Now, granted, that does include Mills' 2 carries for 14 yards. But like you said, I mean, that averages out to 3.26 yards per carry. We talked in the preview about how the Titans surrender almost 5 yards per carry against running backs in this league. It's clear that out of the last drive in which Woody Marks was able to kind of gash up the middle, this is level of competition here. They're not able to do anything against the Titans, who don't exactly have a great defense here. How do they build off of something like this? I mean, I know they're going to say a win's a win, and that's they're pros over there too, and they're paid to play. But you've got it. This doesn't instill confidence in this team that they can't do more, and they got caught playing with their food.
Hey, it could have been worse. They could have puked it away, and the season would be dead. If they can't run it against the Bills on Thursday night, they're pretty much out of chances against pathetic defenses who are soft against the run. Look, the Texans' offensive line is just under-talented. Nick Caserio's failures in draft choicing? Yeah, we'll play with that. and free agency. They can't shove around anybody. Yeah. And then you lose Titus Howard. Ariante Ursary has made some progress over the course of the season, but he's not a road-grade blocker as a rookie left tackle. And then it's just too many other Hammond-Egger journeyman, oh, he has to play, okay, type guys. You know, they use the jumbo package a pretty good amount with Blake Fisher as a sixth offensive lineman. That's just the best of an array of not-so-good options. It's not that they line up and, whoa, they're like the tush-push with the Eagles when they load up with heavy offensive linemen and no one can stop them when they need a yard or two or three. It's just a bad offensive line. It's a bad running game. Overall, it's a bad offense with Nico Collins able to bail them out at times. Jaden Higgins had decent numbers in the game, but we've seen enough of this offense. It's a poor offense that the Texans have to overcome to win.
Yeah, and with Simmons and Sweat back together, it's a much tougher defensive line to run against, which is what the Texans had to deal with today. So I think we have to mention that part of it. The other thing, I like what I'm seeing with the backfield shares, right? We've been saying we wanted Woody Marks to get more opportunities. I know he didn't have a great day today, 2.4 yards per carry, but he had 18 carries to Nick Chubb's 3. So you're seeing that this transformation is happening to where he's the main dude, even though they didn't want that to be the case because they don't think he can hold up, but they're at a point where their back's against the wall. They have to win games right now, so they can't worry about him getting nicked up. They have to use him. And I also noticed he was on the field for third down more often. Dare was still playing some, but I saw Woody out there on third down a lot more than I have in recent weeks. So I think they're getting the message. We got to get our most explosive players on the field.
Marks is their best running back, and he shows some flash. But, I mean, it's not like this is some budding Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, three-down monster. You know, the metaphor I've used before. If you're the tallest in the room full of little people, it doesn't mean you're tall. And when you're running behind this offensive line, garbage in, garbage out for the most part in terms of productivity.
Yeah, and in Marks' defense, there also needs to be holes for him to run with, too, and there weren't a whole lot of holes. But I will say this, I do like that he does seem to run north and south more than he runs east and west, which is more than I can say for Noel on kickoff returns, although Noel did have that really nice kickoff return there in the fourth quarter. But too much hesitancy in my taste. I thought the special teams in general was a little shaky today, but they were able to get the job done when it matters here, obviously. Let's talk about the defense because, I mean, the defense is the reason ostensibly they won this game. Granted, I know they gave up the game tying score there late in the fourth with under 2 minutes left to play, but man, I mean, they just, you can't, you, in the NFL, it's really hard to pitch a shutout. And they really did a really good job of putting the clamps down. Didn't get any sacks on Cam Ward until the second half. But once Cam was feeling that pressure, in fact, I give Cam some credit for being able to make a couple of good throws under duress. But really, at the end of the day, it's just those monsters that are on the line for the Texans are just really beasts. What did you see, Charlie, from the defense, and who from that would you think you'd like to highlight?
No first half sacks, but the Titans had 92 yards of total offense in the first half. So it was domination. And then in the second half, talked about Will Anderson, the do-it-all play. Next Titans possession, Daniil Hunter just blast through for a sack on third down to kill off that Titans possession. Inexcusable to get beaten over the top, protecting a 7-point lead late, and by a tight end at that. Didn't see many replay angles, but the one knock on Kamari Lasser was his straight line speed. So between he and a fill-in safety, I'm not sure where the blame goes, but they can share it. Getting beaten deep by a tight end like that, fine throw by Ward, but the tight end was clearly open. Look, a great stat by Fox put up early in the telecast. The Texans, the first team in NFL history to this late into the season, go into the game with the number one scoring defense in the NFL, the number one defense in the NFL in fewest yards allowed per game, and still have a losing record. I mean, if that doesn't tell you where the blame lies, well, the losing record's now shoved to the side at 5-5. But if by hook or by crook or by magic or by damn luck, if this offense can't tick it up, they're on borrowed time for the season, right? They're at 5-5, but with the Bills coming from behind to beat the Buccaneers Sunday, throw in the Jaguars absolutely pasting the Chargers, right? The Texans are behind more than three teams in the wild card race. Buffalo, Kansas City, and the Chargers are among them. Well, they get a crack at each of them. The Bills, the only ones who come here. That's why, to me, Thursday is a virtual must-win for the Texans to get in 6-5, where they still won't be in good shape to make the playoffs, but they'll be in shape something other than a carcass, you know, or needing a chalk outline. And let me just throw in for fun. I mean, I don't think the Texans are good enough to rip off six wins in their remaining seven games. But the Colts schedule is a bear the rest of the way. Not Chicago. I mean, just stacked. And if the Texans are going to make a run, I think that includes having to beat the Colts twice. And if Indy was to crater, that's what could open the door. But it needs a lot of opening, right? The Colts, three games ahead of the Texans with seven to play. But there is the chance to sweep them in the head-to-head. If you pull that off, last game of the season's here against the Colts, you'd be one back with five to go and having the slightly more favorable schedule. The Texans do have back-to-back home games with the Cardinals and the Raiders in December, but you need to get there with the mattering.
Yeah, I think your win over the Jags looks more impressive this week after seeing what they did to the Chargers. So that's a positive. You won this game without Stroud, without Jalen Petrie. Hopefully you have those guys when you play the Bills, because you're going to need them, especially getting Petrie back. We'll see with Stroud. I know he's your quarterback, and that's very important. But Petrie's a guy you're going to need. He's a starter. He's a cover guy. He can do a lot of different things. He can blitz. And so hopefully he and CJ are good to go. As far as the defense, man, Daniil Hunter, after defensive player of the week, keeps it rolling with another sack, four tackles. Really impressive from him. It's just great to see him and Will Anderson, you know, going back and forth. So they're going to need that next week. I'm excited. The defense is doing their job. I know they gave up that touchdown. You know, Conquo got behind Lasseter there. That stuff's going to happen sometimes. And Chig's pretty quick for a tight end. He's a smaller tight end. He can run. So, and also looked like on the touchdown play, Al Shire looked a little confused, like maybe they weren't in the coverage that he was thinking they were. So something to build on. I just like that they didn't let that bother him. They went down the field. They got the field goal. They won the game. So I think that's huge going into this. 5-5, you got the whole season in front of you. It's still in your hands. So let's go, guys.
Yeah, I do like ultimately them being able to execute. And speaking of that, I mean, this is the second week in a row in which we've watched, you know, Davis Mills lead a winning touchdown or a winning drive here. he's 26 for 41, 274 yards here. It's a mixed bag to me. I think ultimately he accomplished what you want to accomplish out of this game. He comes out of it with a 90.9 quarterback rating out of this. Charlie, what'd you see out of Davis Mills?
I'm where I was a couple of weeks ago. He's an adequate backup quarterback in the NFL. There aren't 32 good starters. There certainly isn't a list that we could compile of really good backup quarterbacks that you'd say that why aren't they starting in the NFL? The bad interception, what was it, the third play from scrimmage last week? Take that out. 8 quarters of clean football consecutively now from Davis Mills. That's job one, certainly against mediocre or bad opponents, right? Don't self-immolate. Don't give the game away. Don't make the, oh my God, mistakes. And Mills, 0 turnovers in 2 games minus that early one against the Jaguars.
Yeah, he's taking care of the ball. Just don't go out there and lose the game. When we have a defense as good as the Texans, just don't turn the ball over. Punting is not the end of the world. And when you needed him to get some plays, he did. I liked him going to Jaden Higgins. It's a big body guy. And you know Nico's going to get a lot of attention on the other side of the field. And him and Dalton Schultz have a pretty good connection too. So when they needed to get it done, he made some good throws. And he didn't make the big mistake. He didn't take a bunch of sacks. And, you know, like he was pretty much on top of that. He didn't do anything brilliant. Like Charlie said, he's an adequate backup. That's about it. I think he's played a lot better in these 2 games where he started, which you would expect having a whole week to prepare. But he's made me at least feel a little more comfortable with the situation with the Texans, that it's like, okay, if you need Davis to come in for a game or two, he might be able to get you a win. And that's all you look for in your backup quarterback. Hopefully CJ will be back and we don't have to see Davis Mills anymore.
And for a season and a half, CJ Stroud had been close to elite level quarterback. Mm-hmm. So the drop off from CJ Stroud to at least somewhat competent Davis Mills isn't tumbling off a cliff. 2 of the next 3 Texans opponents are Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, right? So Trevor Lawrence and Cam Ward are in the rearview mirror. Now, I don't expect those guys to Swiss cheese the Texans defense, but they're just better every which way and loose than what the Texans have faced recently. Yeah, well, what kind of shape would the Chiefs be in if they lost Mahomes or if the Bills lost Allen? You know, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's why they've monopolized the MVP award over the last 5-6 years. So Stroud, other than his rookie season to this Davis Mills in a bizarre way, you know, leaves the Texans less damaged than if they can knock Josh Allen out of the game or Mahomes is not fully healthy. Out of the game, if not fully healthy, Mahomes is still better than Davis Mills. But compared to what CJ Stroud was doing game to game, Davis Mills has been all right since replacing him.
Who's your MVP of the game?
Josh, if you have a clear choice, feel free.
Just give it to Nico for me. Yep. I don't think you have an offense without Nico.
Yeah, it would probably have been the way that I would lean. It was a 35-yard game winner, so I'm not going to go Matthew Wright on that. If he did a couple of 50-yarders filling in for Kaimi Fairbairn, I think he serves as a reminder. Paying $5 million for your kicker is not worth it unless the guy is just super spectacular. Okay, I'm stalling. I want to go the Anderson-Hunter route. I mean, they gave up 13 points, and it feels like a disappointing performance after they bageled the Titans here. They're just so damn good. They need to rack up another season or two. You know, 2 years doesn't put you next to all-time greats. But these are 2 guys who are probably going to wind up in double-digit sack numbers as a tandem for the second year in a row, and those just don't grow on trees.
I have to echo Josh's sentiment here and go Nico. Just 9 receptions off of 10 targets, his long being 18 yards. So basically a 10.2 yard average. I mean, and just when you need him, he's just such an incredibly important security blanket for, in this case, a backup quarterback to have. And Texans are very lucky to have him. Give us your team MVPs down in the comment section below. We want to hear what you guys think. We'll be back next week. We're going to drop the preview episode. I believe we said on Tuesday. We're going to drop a preview episode on Tuesday ahead of the Thursday night game. So make sure you guys are subscribed to the channel. Click like on this video if you haven't already. That helps us out with the algorithm. and helps support the show. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long, and until next time, go Texans.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.